Ladies and gentlemen, season four, after a very disappointing and short season three, we are finally back again for you. Season number four feels good. Feels good to get a clean slate there. We promised you 30 seasons, and season three, that would get us to episode 100. We gave you five. Five, and I believe Austin was only in three of them.
Yeah, it's kind of cheating, right?
Not quite.
Well, if we're doing 30 seasons, and it's...
30 seasons. 30 we said 30 seasons. Episodes.
Oh, you just said 30 seasons.
I meant 30. Oh, shit.
So we're doing 30 seasons is what I just heard.
Well, fuck it. If it takes that long.
Well, that's why I said it was cheating. Because you're just what you're doing short seasons now.
Yeah, well, that would have been smarter. No, we promised. Look,
this
guys.
This is our promise. Every season will be 30 episodes. 30 seasons. Are you ready?
30 seasons of 30 episodes. We're beating the Simpsons record. That's the goal.
That's the goal. This is like a, you know, till you die podcast.
I don't even think that beats the Simpsons record, though. No,
not even close.
Not even close. They're like still going. They're like, what, 37 right now or something.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
What the Simpsons are at. A lot. I think Family Guy's been going on for too long. Oh, and I don't even know.
I thought Family Guy was going on too long, like in the third season.
Is it still going?
I can't imagine Seth MacFarlane can do anything else.
I don't think he knows when to stop.
I think they made a Ted TV show now.
Ted?
Yeah, you know the talking teddy bear that's played by Mark Wahlberg? No, he's friends with Mark Wahlberg. I don't know who plays. I guess Seth MacFarlane plays him.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
He's like a legit teddy bear, but he like smokes and drinks and
it's just Brian the dog from Family Guy,
but girl. It's like Brian the dog, but
it's
like
a teddy bear now.
But it's a teddy bear, and I'm trying to tell you why it's different.
Okay.
But I'm really struggling because it is basically that. He's slightly more crude.
That's his only character.
He's less posh than Brian. He's from Jersey. Basically, he's Brian if Brian was a puppy that grew up in Jersey. But otherwise.
So, I mean, it just sounds like it's Mark Wahlberg and his little sassy friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they do, like, they
what
smoke bongs
Wahlberg?
And yeah. And Mark Wahlberg, I think, plays himself. I mean, maybe there's a character name, but he plays himself.
Now, I don't know what he sounds like, but I assume he walks in and goes, "It's me, Mark Wahlberg."
Like that. I mean, I think that's close. Thanks. Yeah, I'm going to try. Mark Wahlberg. Let me see if I can.
Back of your mouth only.
It's kind of like.
It's kind of like just the back of your mouth.
Hey, yo, why didn't you make me a sandwich?
That's Mark Wahlberg's. That's Mark Wahlberg's catchphrase.
Yeah.
I can't talk.
Hey, bitch, I thought you made me a sandwich.
That's what he says.
Yeah, pretty much always.
Yeah, he met my mom once, and that's what he said. It was weird. She walked away.
That's good. Yeah. I'm proud of your mom.
Yeah,
you don't take that kind of shit.
Who would?
From Marky Mark or anybody else.
No. I hear he's a great guy. I haven't heard anything. I don't know anything about Hollywood.
I don't know if he's a great guy.
Yeah, who knows? He could be.
He's fit.
He is fit. He's got those, what do you call them?
He's from Boston. He's got a Boston accent, not a Jersey accent. So we should try that again. It's more like, "Hey, I thought you made me some clam chowder."
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
Yeah.
Oh, should we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, probably. Hey, everybody. It's me, your boy, Tyler Armstrong.
And it's me. I'll be playing the role of Austin Armstrong. It's a new season, so I'm taking more of a measured pace with my speaking. I'm going to speech therapy. So now I sound like this. Hello, everybody. It's me. It's me, Austin Armstrong.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And just so you guys know, just a side note, we did do like a lot of casting calls for Austin.
Yeah.
Every type of human you can imagine came in over the course of months. Hence, we took so long. You know, season three ended early because Austin disappeared. We don't know where he is or what happened to him. That aside, we knew our mission was important and we had to get back on it. And the only way we could is to get another co-host and get back out there and find Jeff. Get Jeff here. I can't do that alone. I need all of you, and especially a co-host. And without Austin, I had to search the globe. So you probably saw it on NBC. We had a whole side series.
It was a difficult casting. Do you mind if I drop my Austin voice for a second?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Okay, back to normal. Yeah, no, they called my agent, and I heard it was a good opportunity, and
this is the first time that's worked, because we've been calling Jeff's agent since episode one.
Yeah, no, I was just happy to come on. You know, work's really dried up.
I'm happy your agent is a voicemail machine.
You know, there's not a lot going on right now. You know, other than just all the different cartoons I voice, there's not, you know, nothing else going on here.
That's fair. And I did see they're doing a live action of Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, I applied.
And nothing, huh?
Nothing. Nothing. Ouch. Nah, nothing. They didn't give me anything. It was crazy.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of Family Guy, I think this guy voices something in that.
Wheelchair guy or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has a name.
No, his name is Joe Wheelchair Guy.
Joe Wheelchair Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Peter Hastings. I'll be playing Austin Armstrong.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. So, yeah, I know it's weird, everybody. It's hard to digest starting season four after a five episode season three. But we will get to 100 this season. It's only 25 episodes we need now because we got five under the belt.
Are we still in season three?
We're in season four now.
Okay.
Episode one.
Right. So there's 29 more?
Out of 25.
Or we're doing 25 this time.
25 because we did five.
I don't know if seasons are trans.
Like. Stick with me.
Okay.
Stick with me here. Yeah. Just follow this math, okay? Mm. So when we got to season three, episode one, we realized if we do 30 episodes, we'll be at 100 episodes. And we can celebrate 100 episodes with everybody who's ever been on the podcast.
Oh.
Including the guy who wrote the book about Jeff Goldblum. Wait,
can you pull his name real quick? Or is he just the guy?
Yeah, I could pull his name real quick. Do you need me to?
No, I just...
The book he wrote was called Because He's Jeff Goldblum. He is a writer for the Washington Post. His name is
Travis M. Andrews.
Thank you. Travis M. Andrews.
Friend of the podcast, Travis M. Andrews.
Very funny book, very funny person. Currently working on another book I've heard about a different celebrity.
It's Patrick Warburton.
Yeah. All around great guy. But we've had plenty of guests on this podcast, and we're hoping we get all of them, including Jeff, for 100th episode.
That would be wild if we could get Jeff.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
poll. Well, it's our 100th episode, yeah, so it's a great time to get. Yeah. Right? I think it's like obligatory.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Austin and I, you know, when he was here, we realized we were only 30 episodes away, and we're like, 30 episodes? What a breeze. We can handle that. No problem. Every other week, hop in the studio, 30 episodes, no problem in the year. And then a year went by.
Well, I mean, there are 30 episodes in that season, if you paid attention to the ARG clues.
Oh, but you have to go find them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're in the episodes. All the clues are in the episodes. And if you assemble them correctly, it creates a barcode that you can scan, a QR code, sorry, that you can scan that unlocks the other episodes. Exclusively on Apple TV.
Yeah, see, I should pay more attention with the contracting stuff with all this.
Remember all those times that me and the other producers were like kind of around you, like with like recording mics, and you were kind of, we were just like liquoring you up and letting you say anything?
I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
The liquor part.
Yeah, that was that part. Yeah, it was that. We started asking you a lot of really contentious questions about like politics, your like personal feelings, and a lot of different like big scandals that have been happening. And
that didn't go so hot. Yeah.
I mean, it's there if you can make the QR code.
Okay. So when does it release on Apple TV?
It's all secretly there already. You just have to have the link. You can't get in without the link.
Can I do it on a PS5?
How do you scan a QR code on a PS5?
You know, I don't know how to scan a QR code with a phone, so I don't know if I can figure it out with any other device, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there, man. You gotta, every QR code is unique that you create. It's your own special QR code that you make from your own, like, thoughts and feelings and decisions about when and why.
Oh, see, that's interesting, because all of mine I shared because I found they were too expensive on their own.
Oh, it's like a Blue Sky, you got a couple invites and you sent them out already?
Just like, hey, I'm going to use this QR code for now, but like in a week, if you need it for something, you know.
That was such a wild like marketing strategy. Like, we're going to do it like, how, remember how Facebook was really annoying when it first came out and you had to like invite people with only college emails and it was basically just a weird hot or not?
Yeah, it was a weird hot or not.
Yeah, it was just a weird.
I mean, it still kind of is a weird hot or not, but now it's just a slightly,
but now
it's a very political hot or not.
It's a really political hot or not where... my ex's grandmas all wish me happy birthday on my profile page. Yeah. And I have not touched that in a decade.
Yeah. But at least you know they care.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate them doing that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my ex's grandmas is writing a series of romance books.
Oh, God, we got to get her on.
They're going to be published?
We got to get her on.
Oh, my gosh.
That was one of our, so one of our last episodes, which our fans loved, by the way, was Lindsay Hastings, your twin.
Mm-hmm.
She did Lindsay Writes Erotica episode.
Oh.
Where she came on and just pitched me her book ideas for erotic novels because that would be her dream job. And they were good. Like, we've fleshed some out together, no pun intended.
Mm.
And they were, like, I would read them.
Oh, you, okay.
I would cast them. I'd make movies out of them.
Now, that's interesting. Have you heard of, this is on the same subject, I am trying to remember the name of this this service. It's called, like, I want to say, it starts with a Q, I want to say. I don't remember what it's called. But it's like an audio erotica service.
And, oh, I have heard of this.
Right? And people go on there and they like, you know, you subscribe to it or whatever. And it's like, and you can listen to all kinds of different erotica of like people just like talking and like acting out a story. And it's like, I listened to a couple of them with my friend who got a subscription because she was curious. I'm sure she was just curious.
Curious, yeah, that's right. What they call.
But she came and was like busting.
That's
up
one
laughing.
Of the levels yeah. of the subscription.
Just curious.
Curious.
Yeah, that's the first 30 days are free. It's called Just Curious.
Just Curious.
Coupon code Just Curious. Yeah, no, she came over and was like, she's like, you need to listen to some of these. Like, I think you think you know what's on there. You really do. And everyone listening right now, you think you know what's on there. You don't.
Can we get a little taste?
There was one where it was a guy who was like, and it was the same guy, and he has like a really confident voice. Like, I was like, this guy sounds really confident, and he's saying the most like dork shit I've ever heard in my whole life. It's incredible. It was one where he was like stuck in a mermaid costume or something. Like, he was stuck in the mermaid costume and he's like trying to get out, and he's like, sorry, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of annoying, but like the zipper stuff, I can't get it. It's like, right. Like, it's like, I can't get it. My hands are too wet or something. I can't, can you help me with this? And like the whole thing is that he's stuck and he can't get out of it. And he's just like, oh, sorry. You fell on me. Oh, I didn't mean to grab you there. I just wanted to catch you so you wouldn't fall. Oh, at least you got the zipper. Oh, sorry. My whole boner's out. It was like I did that and it sounded goofy and lame. This guy made it sound smooth. It was still funny as hell, but it sounded smooth.
I'm sorry, my whole boner's out.
Oh no, my whole ween just came right out and I'm just
boy.
Hard. Oh no, you fell on it. They're like pretty amazing. I might have to like, maybe you and I will get the Just Curious and we'll listen to a couple.
Yeah, we just got a QR code Just Curious 24 and let's see what.
We might have to give that guy credit because now I've like referenced him and he's great. He's work or something. I don't know. I got very curious if I could do it.
I think you could.
Like, why don't I? Like, well, here's my problem. I mean, you just heard me describe some pretty erotic stuff stuck in a fish costume.
I think the one problem, Pete, is that we didn't have like some sexy background, you know, to like really pull it together.
You have something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you my pitch.
Yeah, let's
for my account.
Let's
imagine you're in a small town, typical 1980s small town. It's your first day of school. You just moved here. You're a senior, so you're 18. And you come in and you're at school and you're not the only new transfer student. There's another one. And he walks in and so you're sitting in class and he's late because he's kind of a bad boy. You're not really sure what's going on. You've been hearing people talk about rumors and you're kind of quiet and trying to keep to yourself. But some people have talked to you a little bit, but you're just a little too shy. And suddenly in the middle class, he walks in, tall, maybe 6'5", tight blue jeans, strong loafers on his feet, a button-up shirt, none of the buttons are buttoned, his rippling abs are out, he walks in with his bag over his shoulder, and it's a guy with a bug head for a head.
Okay.
His mandibles click twice as he looks at you and cocks his head. And he winks one of his giant bug compound eyes, and you can hear the denim ripple with his bulge as he sits down. And what's that? The only seat next to you. I guess the two transfer kids can get to know each other. That's my pitch. What do you think?
I love it.
I think it's, you know, I don't know.
I'm worried about the kissing.
Why would you be worried about that? His mandibles are very gentle and strong.
Well, yeah. I mean, they seem strong.
You'll have to listen to my... I got to figure out what this service is called.
Yeah. This is pretty good, though. I think this could be a thing. Do you have a title for that episode?
So far, it's like a working title. I was trying to go for something like the most erotic thing possible. And it was... I call it throbbing, : this guy's head is a bug.
I mean, straight to the point, too.
I think so, too.
Straight to both points, I guess, which is good.
It's called throbbing, : his
head throbbing, is a bug. Not throbbing, but throbbing,
like a colon.
Yeah. Like the punctuation.
Yeah, the punctuation, right. I'm trying to look it up right now. Audioerotic Quinn? Is it Quinn?
Your whole fucking internet game has just been...
It's Quinn.
...fucking destroyed. It's just called Quinn?
Is it? Quinn? Yeah, it's Quinn. I was right. It's Quinn.
Quinn.
Yeah. Q-U-I-N-N for all those curious people out there.
Q-U-I-N-N. Promo code just curious 24.
Promo code throbbing. Bughead.
Oh, man. We're going to have to explore that further.
Yeah, we might have to make a featuring Jeff Goldblum page where people can because people can subscribe to you and buy your little clips and things like that. Like,
we'll just call it, this is just called Quinn.com.
Because
we can just do,
it's probably Quinn.com.
Goldblum, erotic literature, erotic audio.
Yeah, I'm Jack Goldblum.
Hi.
Can you guess what I want you to do to me?
Hi, I'm Joffrey Goldblum.
Hi, we're Joffrey and Jack Goldblum. You know what? I didn't realize this, but I did sort of The Fly, didn't I? A
little bit.
I did sort of do The Fly.
Yeah,
I've been incepted. Goldblum has incepted me. That's my next story. Incepted by Goldblum.
Incepted by Goldblum is good.
Yeah, there's a lot of tops in it, but none of them are spinning.
This can be all the bonus content for the entire season is just erotic stories.
Goofy erotic. See, this
that
is
are Lindsay somehow Goldblum centric in some way or another.
Lindsay and I really try to bring a lot of erotica to this podcast.
You do.
Yeah.
More than everyone is comfortable with. Yeah. Nice, though.
I'm glad we're all on the same page.
I think we're winding into season four nicely, you know? This is good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad this energy is exactly what you were looking for in a ghost. When you called my agent, which is a text message.
Yeah. Just weirdly sexy.
Yeah. You said I need for the next Austin, for Austin 2.0, / maybe 3.0. I don't know if Lindsay's Austin 2.0 or not.
I think you both are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Twins.
Yeah. So kind of a
interchangeable.
Deal, yeah. Yeah. We've been getting that our whole fucking lives, dude. We're different people. Okay.
We're different. I wasn't aware.
What was I going to say?
For Austin 3.0.
For Austin 2.0. Yeah, 2.0, you were saying, God, the energy I need to be is if we could make Austin more sexual, I think, more intense, more really in your face with it. I think that's something that he needed more of. And, you know, I'm trying to bring that to the role.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that because the last Austin, you know, was aloof, mm-hmm. Had no plan coming in.
Yeah.
All of this worked for him somehow. You know, quite well.
Yeah.
We made it a good long ways. We met Jeff Goldblum twice.
How's he doing?
Never got him to speak to us. Oh. You know, it's funny because
did he sign your butt?
He did not.
That's kind of the main thing you need.
I got really excited this last week because we got contacted by this very high-end security organization.
And they're like, you're on the list. Can't get any Goldblum ever again. And
they're like, hey, I need you to leave the country now. No, they contacted my railroad and they basically said hey, we have this high-end client, and actually they're also it's a couple and they're both high-end clients, and they want to bring their kids out to the railroad and do a whole thing out there, blah, blah, blah. But we need to come vet you and do this, whatever. Right.
Right.
Whole thing. They don't tell you who it is in any of these conversations. So I started to get my hopes up and I'm like, has kids, plural, you know,
that could only describe Goldblum.
Obviously it's Jeff Goldblum.
Right. It's gotta be.
A wife. Yeah. Has kids.
This sounds like things that could only
exists
describe
exists on Earth, you know, is famous somehow and also has money.
Mm-hmm.
And wants privacy.
Yeah, right? Wants privacy. So knows gotta David
sign
Cronenberg.
NDAs. Do all this bullshit. Yeah, the
Are
NDA
you breaking
is basically
your NDAs right now.
No, okay. No.
Because you're not saying who it is.
Because I'm not saying who it is. Okay. That's all I have to do is not say who it is.
Well, you did just narrow it down by saying it's not Jeff Goldblum.
I didn't say that yet.
Oh, okay. You're right.
But you're right. It is not Jeff Goldblum, which is fine. No, they've been very nice and everything's very great. But like up until like a couple of days ago, we didn't know who this client was going to be. And I was starting to like work myself up. Like,
oh, you're getting excited.
What if it is Jeff?
Like I could get him for the cast.
Like what if I have to spend my entire day with Jeff Goldblum and his family?
Have to?
I mean, what if I get to? You're right. I mean,
yeah, you wouldn't even be. And the worst part of that is you wouldn't be able to tell me so I could run down.
No. Yeah. No, just have to be. I would be soloing like the biggest piece of our day. And I got myself all worked up and then I found out the other day who it was. And I'm like, well, fuck. I mean, not fuck. You know, as a cool security guy's like in front of me and I'm like, ah, fuck. No, it's good. No, it's fine. Yeah, like, they're great. Cool, I'm sure. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome day. Whatever. They're going to have a good time. That's all I care about. I will make myself scarce and be there when I'm needed. But I was like, so like, I was at a loss. I'm like, what do I do? Like I signed an NDA, so I can't like
tell anybody or talk about it.
Yeah, I can't like bring it up on a podcast, number one. And number two, I can't just be like, hey, by the way, can I have you be on this? I know I just had to sign this long document that tells me all the things I can't do. But what it did not specifically say is that you can't decide on your own that you want to be on my podcast.
You just like, they're like riding the train. You're like playing episodes of it.
Yeah. He's like, are you like it? You like it? What you hear?
Sorry, this is the only thing we have.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens to them all the time. Like, you guys like this music? They're like, it's fine. I made it. Like, oh, cool.
Oh,
good.
Oh, boy. Can we get anybody else to do the train thing for us?
You like trying to sell, you're like, hey, you can have this CD, man. Okay, that'll be $20.
I did after getting to like hang out with a security guy for the day, though. Like, I'm kind of jealous of his job.
It sounds chill as hell.
Because he basically, like, I'm assuming at some point he has to beat somebody's ass.
Yeah.
Ever so occasionally. Mm. But it seems like most of the time what he does is like he goes to cool places ahead of time and like scouts them. And then he comes out with them and like has a fucking day. It's pretty chill. And then goes back to like a 5-star hotel and has like the best sleep of his fucking life. He's like, we've been in hotels that are like underwater where like, you know, everything is glass and you take it down in an elevator and there's like wildlife like rolling past you. He's like, it's fucking terrifying because I don't know how that shit works or if it's all going to cave in on me or how am I breathing right now or any of this shit. But he's like, it happens, or you're like in the fucking middle of you're in Africa somewhere and you have a fucking, he's like, my room was 3 times the size of my house. And I kept trying to tell him like, no, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. Maybe there's a communication error, but this is my client's room. Where is my room? And they kept going, no, this is your room. Your client has a different room. He's like, no, this room is a home. This is not a room, number one. And number two, cannot be mine. And then they show him the client's room. He's like, okay, thank you for my room. The client has half the island to themselves. Okay. So it's whatever. But I'm just like, dude, how do you get into that? First off, you have to be like 6'6"
and
like
huge,
280 pounds of muscle.
Kind of like a nut job. And also like someone who the person is not concerned is going to like hook up with their wife, I guess.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what kind of vibe do you have to give off to be like huge cut?
He's very sweet. And I wouldn't say he's cut, but I definitely would also say that like, I would not fuck with him if my life depended on it.
This is important. Do you think he could beat up The Rock?
Oh, see, because I know that you think you can.
Well,
at his age,
we have to go into the whole. That's like a whole conversation.
That's a whole
different part of this episode that I knew you were going to bring up. So I was going to co-opt you. But do you think
he just got in there?
This man could take The Rock.
See, once again, I don't.
Sorry, The Rock Prime.
As in
The Rock when he was like 45.
Rock Prime.
Yeah,
I don't know. I doubt it.
Okay.
Rock Prime. I doubt it. Now, maybe. I mean, I feel like he probably carries a gun, so kind of solve
it. That's helpful.
But if it was just hand to hand.
But here's the thing, man. There's a very big difference between like stage fighting and like actually just like instantly going for like a kill.
Oh, I agree with that. You know what I mean? And I feel this man would have to train
I think
for real.
This man whose job is to like instantly stop anything bad from happening to a really fancy person.
Yeah.
Was probably been trained to like go for a kill. Whereas like The Rock has definitely been trained to not hurt people. So his first reaction might not be to hurt. He might accidentally do something like safe.
Well, I think his first reaction is like, hey, so we pre-broke this table. I'm going to lift you up and I need you to lift your legs when you go up.
Yeah.
And then you're going to fall this way into it.
Which is like, not to, you know, cast aspersions. That's fucking hard to do. Stage fighting is like physically more demanding than real fighting. Like, You have to do so much extra work.
But I do see what you're saying. When you spend most of your life doing everything you can not to kill somebody, and this other guy is like, I'll kill somebody for that guy.
Yeah. Like, my job is to instantly, as fast as possible, like, incapacitate somebody. Like, in a painful way that will make them stop moving. I would put money on that person over somebody who's like...
Yeah.
Like a stage fighter. But at the same time, The Rock is, you know, the prime Rock is like, you know, he's got all, it's like he's doing everything right. He's not like, you know, doing drugs.
Doing the eyebrow. His eyebrows have muscles in them.
Eyebrows have big muscles. Yeah. He's like a big, powerful man. But it's like, you know, The Rock at his best is probably not like the cut Rock who's like performing on stage. It's probably like a more hydrated guy. It's like,
I'd imagine
not
so,
desiccated. So you can see every different ab and muscle.
Yeah. Plump Rock.
You know, just The Rock, like the realistic Rock. That guy's probably harder to fight than, you know, the guy who's like, has been like fasting and, you know, getting his weight down and so he can look as like as pecked out as possible.
Well, they make you wear that tiny little Speedo. So,
yeah. You know what I learned actually? One of the gigs I had, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before. I had a gig once where I was eye candy at a party in LA. And basically my job was to like wear, I'm not joking, like pretty much see-through underwear, a Santa hat, and some Converse. I'm not joking.
It's a hell of a look.
This is my job. I was like, I think I was like 21, 22, right? And I was like, I didn't have a ton of money. I like, you know, was like in between jobs. And I had a friend who like posted a ad like, hey, do I know any guys who are just like in decent shape and like really comfortable with themselves? And I was like, yeah, man, that's, I could do that. Like, what do you want me to do? You mean like pick some stuff up? And I was, what does the comfortable part mean? It's like,
do you need me to pick some stuff up? Well, sort of.
But anyway, so like at that event, you know, one of the first things they did when I was like getting dressed backstage, I like had the underwear on and everything. And I was like, all right, what do I do? And they're like, well, it's pretty cold outside. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, all right, so here's, and they just handed me a condom. And I was like, what? And they're like, we don't have any more of the like bands that we're supposed to use. So do you know how to tie this and like use it like this? And I was like, no, what the fuck are you talking about?
Tie it around like, to keep.
Do I know how to use a condom? Thinging. Yeah, I know how to use a condom, but.
But why are they tying it?
So what happens is there's like a little band you wear like around your, and this is a little blue for the pocket. I don't know how rowdy we get here, but it's around your sack and shaft. Like it's like a
full, it's both.
Yeah, it's like a little band. And what it does is it's not too tight, but it like keeps more blood in there. Ah. So you look a little bigger when it's cold, you know, especially because you're trying to fill out the fucking underwear. They don't want you to, you know, shrimp in. So I'm, you know, I'm like wearing, so, but they, I was like, I was trying to do it and I couldn't, it was slippery and I didn't know exactly how tight it needed to be.
Condom.
I was like, look, I don't know how tight this is supposed to be and I don't want to gangrene my junk.
Right.
Can you just do this for me? And my friend who was gay, and you know, I was like very, like I was straight at the time, like very straight presenting. And he was like, I was like, can you just help me, dude? Like, and he's like, oh, well, and he's being very conscientious of me, like kind of nervous. And I was like, dude, this is a work thing. It's fine. Can you just like get up in my junk and like help me fix this, please? I'm very comfortable with you. I trust you. Like, it's okay.
He's like, well, you shouldn't.
No, he was cool. He was very professional. He was
well,
cool.
Good.
That was the first time I made $50 an hour, which was pretty fucking cool.
That's good money.
Open bar. Yeah. I just had to walk around and like talk to, it was like a gay event. In LA. And I was just like, you know, eye candy at a gay party. I got invited to a lot of very rich, fancy people's places to go get like, I could really give you a great massage. You look so tense. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, no, no, but thanks. I'm in a relationship actually. Thank you though. It's just a massage. Like, no, this isn't smooth.
It's always just a massage.
This isn't smooth. It happened with like six different people.
Was
like,
it the same one every time?
No, it was like six.
The same exact thing.
The
same
I have
line.
A table back at my place. I have like great oils. It was always like a guy, like a clean cut, nice looking like guy who like looks like a businessman or a doctor or whatever. Those guys were like really aggressive. And I was like, this was a very transformative experience for me, like just as a person, because I was like, man, I bet this is how all of my like women friends feel.
Yeah.
All the fucking time, every single day of their lives. And they go out It was the first time in my life I felt like such a piece of meat, and I felt like so objectified, and so, and it was a good experience all around. But my point, circling back around, was they put a little band on you so your junk look bigger. Isn't that weird?
And then also you can get free massages for life if you play your cards right.
People started jokingly like putting like fivers in my waistband and stuff, and I was like, I mean, I'm not going to complain about this.
Yeah, that's tipping.
I'm actually poor right now, so yeah, this is great for me.
That's that version of tipping, right? How else would you do it?
Well, I wasn't stripped. I mean, there were other guys who were like dancers, and they were like dancing around and everything. And like, I was not one of the guys. I was like, am I supposed to be doing a dance routine? They're like, the guy who was supposed to be doing your job was supposed to, but you're just being paid what he was being paid to chill and hang out with people and just drink for free at the bar. And I was like, this is cool. I don't know if I was supposed to be drinking for free at the bar, but they were definitely hitting on me. So,
well, I mean, I feel like it helps with the role, you know, loosen. Mm-hmm. You were going very, you know, you're diving right in. It was very,
I came across as like a silly kind of drunk straight guy who's just here to have fun and hang out,
which is what
I was like crack to people. They were like, are you curious? Or you want to try anything? And I was like, not at a point in my life where I was ready for that. So I was just like, yeah, you know, no, I'm in a relationship, but thanks, dude.
High five.
Oh, high five, man. Yeah. It was a good learning experience. In retrospect, it was fun.
You could turn that into one of the bonus content.
Oh my God. Yeah. I walk out there. I've got the little band around my junk, but
yeah,
the main character, the person I'm talking to is like, hey, could you just tie this around? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get hard.
Goldblum Erotic Audio presents.
Oh,
underdressed and overpaid,
underdressed and still somehow underpaid. His head is a bug.
His head is about, his feet are cockroaches.
It's a completely normal human body.
That's you like have to like Kafka-esque ripped. Every piece of but your yeah, audio every, somehow.
Everything is like, is a super ripped, handsome, but their head is like an ant head.
Always.
Like a big ant, like not a small ant head, although that might be a different funny
it's,
one.
It's always colon, his head is a bug, no matter what.
It's from His Head is a Bug Studios.
His Head is a Bug Studios presents.
His Head is a Bug Studios presents. Throbbing. Colon, his head is a bug.
In association with what?
Association Productions. With Jeff Goldblum approves this message.
I'm shocked, honestly, because I got another message last week on our featuring Jeff Goldblum Facebook page to tell us like, hey, by the way, what you're doing is now against no longer Facebook, I guess, but Meta. Mm. It's like, hey, Meta doesn't like what you're doing. Meta has specific terms and you're violating them, so we're going to delete your account in 4 days. That was 7 days ago.
How's it doing?
I'm getting another message saying, hey, Meta doesn't like your content. And I'm like, oh, is it because we got like the Trump Biden thing coming up and you're like not touching anybody's shit right now because everybody's doing bad things? And he's like, well, it's bad, but it's not like that bad. I guess I'm just gonna like give him a pass.
No one's gonna get that mad at him, right?
Yeah. It's like, I guess I'm just, I don't know. Like, Jeff, how you feeling? Like, are you upset?
Yeah, Jeff.
Because like, we'll stop if you are.
Jeff, and...
But you're going to need to come out and tell us.
You need to tell. I mean,
you need on. To tell us.
Let's. We can make him a special offer right here. Just okay. Tonight. Special offer.
Use the promo code.
Yeah, Jeff. If you just want to phone in, not in the parlance, but phone in to our cast, as the cool kids call it. That's fine.
So we call it a cast.
We'd like you to fly out here and hang out, and we could just have like a great day where everybody except for me eats ice cream and I'm allergic. And
you know, and he's super like health conscious, so really? I feel like we could do something like
a fruit bar.
Like, yeah, like a fruit bar.
Yeah, you're eating pretty well these days. You're like,
I try.
Mostly vegan with some fish.
Yeah, I try. They call it pescatarian, and I fucking hate that.
Well, pescatarian, doesn't that like imply that you still eat like cheeses and eggs? And
I mean,
like
we vegetarian do. We fish. Do.
Oh, okay.
We do eat cheeses and eggs. We just avoid it around you.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
Because we travel a lot, right? So we have to like most cuisine around the world, unfortunately, and unfortunately for you, like involves meat, cheese, fish, and bread.
Yeah.
Like pretty much everywhere has some combination of that. So if I cut out meat, then I can still like mostly eat when I travel. But if I cut out like fish and cheese too, then I'm basically living off bread. And not all bread, just some bread.
Just some bread. A lot of bread has milk in it.
Yeah, and that would be nuts.
You could eat nuts, though, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jeff, if you want to get lost in tangents like that, you should come talk to us on our great show.
So the one thing that I remember from podcasting, too, that's super important is that we have to take a break and make money.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So we can pay ourselves like 11 cents an hour if everything goes great.
Yeah, so we should put our pants back on?
No, we don't have to, actually. Oh, that's okay. The best part.
Thank God. Okay.
Is that most of the ads are by somebody else. So we can leave our pants off and leave to work the professionals.
All right. I'm ready to get professionally worked.
All right. Off we go into ad land. See you guys in a few. Speaking of Jeff, we should probably... Okay, so remember, like... Remember back in the day when we like were doing a regular podcast?
Oh, sorry. Are we switching to like a bit?
It's not like a bit like per
Jeff,
se.
Jeff guy, the guy.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, no, but back in the day we had like segments, right? We did like things.
Okay.
So I feel like we have to, I mean, we used to call it a moment of Jeff, right?
A moment
but
of Jeff.
We'll wait for the end for the moment of Jeff because I feel like it's important to like end on Jeff. But Jeff is doing things right now.
Oh.
So I feel like as the opening episode, I mean, we'll spend the rest of the series forgetting we're talking about Jeff Goldblum for the most part.
We're Jeff, if you want to come on this podcast, we will be on.
The mission is to get Jeff Goldblum on the podcast. That's why this podcast exists.
Always been the goal.
Some new voices, some new cast, some new plans.
Should
but
we? Like, because some people are like streaming, you know? Like they're on.
Yeah, we've done some of that.
Like we stream ourselves on like Twitch or something. Would it's that be sad?
Just hard.
Like if we didn't have enough people, would
I think
it be,
we're
would
too
it feel
old.
Maybe.
I mean, I feel like everyone I see doing that is like, I don't know. I can't guess ages well anymore, but I would assume 11. But I feel like they're probably 22.
God, that does happen.
As you hit,
I feel like once you hit 30, you just like, you look at people who are teenagers and they are indistinguishable from like 10-year-olds.
Well, and I'm like the wrong side of 30 now, you know, like I'm creeping on 40 fast. Whoa. Like I'm like right behind, you know, that like meme where it's like Chris Evans or some, whoever Captain America is. And then Aquaman's like behind him. Like,
I have to say this, like every time you ever reference Chris Evans, you do point at your crotch. And I don't. You've done that every time you've ever said his name.
Really?
No, I'm just fucking with you.
I mean,
you
would
did it just now, but I don't
great.
Know.
Great. Yeah. But
I thought that was what you named your penis.
Yeah. Remember when Chris Evans was being creeped down by Aquaman and Ant-Man?
That's what you call
my
balls.
Two balls. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, now it's hard, but this is important. Mm-hmm. So Jeff has been kind of, I wouldn't say out of the spotlight. He's doing commercials. He's doing like hotels.com.
He's doing a lot of Marvel stuff, right?
He was one character in Marvel for the Thor movies.
Wasn't he?
He was a god.
Yeah, no, I remember he was the collector.
Not the collector. That was,
Was the collector?
No, he was, not called the collector.
Oh, he was the guy who was running. Well, he was running the arena.
He was running the arena.
I just thought that was the correct. The collector.
No, the collector is played by the guy from Leaving Las Vegas. Not Leaving Las Vegas. The Las Vegas movie with Johnny Depp. It's based on the book. Leaving Las Vegas is Nicolas Cage. Now we're really getting off.
Yeah. We should get Nicolas Cage on the podcast too. He's fun.
He's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
But that could be fun.
Could be fun.
You know, I have a friend, Lanessa, in New Orleans, who's met him on multiple occasions.
Really?
And says that he's a huge dick.
Really?
And a terrible pain in the ass and always so coming in hammered.
I could see that, though.
Yeah.
I get a little
I guess he comes in like swirling his hands, which in his mind means like, I want you to make me a hurricane. But in my friend who's a bartender's mind, it just means he's swirling his hands and looking like a psychopath.
I've never seen someone walk into a bar swirling their fingers. Yeah. Like,
and I guess he got really upset that didn't like immediately get hurricanes, mate. So she like asked him like, can I help you with something? He's like, hurricanes, two hands, meaning two of them, please. And she's like, I am not going to help you. Just moved on to somebody else.
No, poor Nick.
Which made him quite irate. Which, you
I
know,
bet.
Yeah. Just, it's supposedly he's just not.
Bartenders and baristas, man.
Yeah. Hard life.
You get all kinds.
The best and the worst. It was the best of times. It was also times.
the time Nicolas Cage came in and started swirling his hands around and said, yeah. "Give me hurricanes."
It's a pretty good
Nick Cage. I don't think that was Nick Cage. Is that what Nick Cage sounds like?
It kind of sounds like Nick Cage trying to play Batman.
That's what I was thinking. I felt a little Batman-y to me. But I was the only thing I know Nick Cage from, like, truly, other than his seminal work in the Ghost Rider movie.
And Con Air.
That's exactly what I was about to say. My favorite Nick Cage impression is, "Put the bonnet back in the box."
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible.
I found out about that movie from somebody talking about a web comic, like, way back in the day, and I was like, "What?" And they were like, "You should actually watch the movie, though. It's like pretty good."
It was a huge hit.
It's pretty good.
A huge hit.
It is very difficult in modern times to hear. Well, so it's that movie where Nick Cage plays a Green Beret who goes to prison. Sorry, he plays a southern green beret.
He plays southern a lot, though. I don't know how many people know that, but he plays southern a lot. That's his happy place is southern. He's New Orleans ish, I believe. New Orleans based.
You know, he like the vibe of the story you just told me about that makes me feel like he brings the same energy that like someone who moved to Santa Cruz from Silicon Valley does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Someone who just walks in like, I'm so fucking important.
Yeah, and that's wild.
And it's like, you can be as nice as you want. Like, you could actually be like a kind, generous, totally cool person, but when your energy is, I'm so fucking important, you are never gonna come across cool or kind or genuine.
And the weird thing is, I like, for the longest time, he was the biggest joke. Like, this is not an actor.
I was a genuine guy's fan nuts. Of Nick Cage's performance in Kick-Ass. He did a pretty good job in that.
He did. Well, that's what I'm like starting to come around to the idea that like maybe he is more important than we think and we're not giving him enough credit.
In fact, you know what? I think you're right.
Like, I've been seeing more of his shit lately, like his later shit. And I'm like, wow, this dude actually has some fucking amazing range.
I've been hearing like that he's a pretty cool dad. For a long time.
Maybe.
I've been hearing, because his son,
I mean, he did that movie where he played himself going to an island where, who's the Mandalorian now?
Oh, Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal plays like his biggest fan, who's a rich guy who has an island. And so Nicolas Cage comes out as himself to the island to hang out with this guy. And it turns out this guy's like deep in the drug trade and becomes an action movie over time. But it's all he plays himself the whole time.
That sounds pretty good.
As an actor. And it was fucking good. And I was like, okay, well, he's playing himself, but still sort of meta. And he's doing a great job.
Some people like playing yourself. Like, I know that's like, oh, they're just playing themselves. Like, but like playing yourself is hard because you're not playing who you are. You're playing who other people think
you are. Who they think you are. Yeah, yeah, that's huge. Moreover, like his old shit was also like he was in Raising Arizona, which is a Coen Brothers film.
I've never seen her.
Fucking one of the best movies I think I've ever seen in my life, where he literally stay with me. The premise of this movie is they're in Arizona. It's this couple of rednecks, right? He plays a redneck with like, the only way I can describe it is like Looney Tunes hair. Like his hair is so disheveled in such a specific way. There's no way he could accidentally do it or ever like try to do it. It just exists that way in this ridiculous, like
they styled his hair with a balloon.
Yeah. There's like, no, exactly. Like they styled his hair with a balloon, but it just stays like that the whole movie. And it's incredible. But the premise of the movie is like this redneck couple, like, really want a baby and they can't have a baby, so he decides one day like, well, that person, they've got 5 babies, they obviously can't care for 5 babies like we could care for 1 baby. So he just like fucking very expertly like and acrobatically like gets up the side of this person's house. I don't remember, it's not a fire escape, they're in Arizona, but he somehow like manages his way up to the second story into a window, chooses one of these babies that they're like, just someone in their town has baby. Yeah, well, the one that he thought was by far the best looking and,
so he picked
and
the clearly gonna baby. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're like, well, that seems like a strong baby. Seems like a smart baby. And he's like, this might be the fucking greatest baby the world's ever seen. She's like, don't curse in front of our baby. And they're very caring, but he like steals this baby. And then they go on like the rest of the movie, as far as I remember, is just like a big, long fucking avoid the police chase.
Yeah. Well, that was,
they have this child.
That was autobiographical.
Probably.
That's how he grew up.
That's the story of his life. Yeah.
How he grew up.
But it was incredible. And I'm just like, holy crap. This dude
is good.
And I care about him. Yeah. Like, he's the dumbest fucking character I've ever seen. And it's the stupidest fucking thing to do. And for some reason, I'm like, I really hope they get to keep the baby in the end. Because they're really trying hard. And I just love it.
They're endangering the hell out of this baby, but God, they deserve that baby.
Oh, God, this baby's going to be the best driver when it grows up.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about Jeff Goldblum. We're
supposed to be talking, yeah. And Jeff, so, if you want to have tangents like that in your life, you should Zoom us or whatever.
Come on down. So Jeff is narrating a new movie that is currently out.
Is it about Morgan Freeman? Because that would be very funny.
It is not. But, so it's called They Shot the Piano Player. It is about a piano player from Brazil called Francisco. I'm going to butcher this, but Francisco Tenorio. So he's a Brazilian samba jazz pianist who started to like really make waves in the 70s in Brazil, like to the point that it was like changing the genre of jazz and bringing samba music worldwide. He was getting these huge shows. He was doing this big thing. And then he just disappears off the fucking face of the earth. And nobody knows what happens to him. So they made this documentary about Francisco Tenorio, which Jeff Goldblum was chosen to narrate. It's a cartoon. It's animated. Mm. And it's in all the film festivals right now. And supposedly is quite incredible. And I'm going to play you a clip from it. And with the beauty of editing, we're going to make it palpable for everybody else listening. But
I'm excited for this amount of editing.
But here you go. You'll hear the voice.
It was 1959. The bossa nova in Brazil changed the history of music. Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Dizzy Gillespie, Stan Getz, even Frank Sinatra. The entire world began singing and dancing to Brazilian music.
I read Jeff's article on the bossa nova rage of the 1950s. I asked Jeff to take things a step further. The story, however, became more complicated.
One day, I came across a name unknown to me, Justinário Jr.
Tenorio was one of the top figures of samba jazz during the bossa nova years.
What happened to him?
Very strange story. He disappears just like this.
Eu não saberia definir Tenorio, não.
Ele apareceu assim como um relâmpago na música brasileira aqui no Rio.
How are we going to do subtitles in the podcast?
We're not. That's why I stopped it there.
Okay.
I feel like that was a perfect...
I felt like I got it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so this is coming out soon. Very excited about it. But he's back on the scene doing what he loves best, jazz. Mm. But he gets to narrate this story. And supposedly he's like knows the director and the director knows he loves jazz. And they had all these drunken talks throughout the evenings about this one guy he was obsessed with. And he decided he was going to make a movie about it while he talked to Jeff about it. And then decided after he realized he'd make a movie about it, he was going to invite Jeff. And then they never talked about it for a couple of years. And all of a sudden he gets called up. He's like, I need you to be the narrator for this. And also I'm going to make Francisco, who sort of looks like you, I'm going to model the animation character after you. And so you're going to be the narrator and also play the lead role of the person who suddenly goes missing. And then we'll, and you'll narrate the voice of the character trying to figure out what happened to him through the years and modeled all after Jeff's way of playing piano.
That's pretty cool.
Which is pretty rad. And I'm excited about it. And thank you, Jeff, for coming back. But more importantly, the Super Bowl just happened the other week. We had a party where we absolutely did not watch any of it.
I think we just watched the Puppy Bowl.
We watched the Puppy Bowl, and when people got tired of the Puppy Bowl, we started on Takeshi's Castle.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty fun.
Which is like a...
Which, honestly, Jeff Goldblum would be a great contestant on Takeshi's
Castle. He would be, yeah. It's like American Ninja for comedians.
It's like Japan's Ninja.
Yeah, Japan, yeah, it's... Yeah, it's exactly
Japan's
that.
Ninja Warrior, kind of.
Which sounds redundant somehow, but I'm not sure how.
You could call it Nippon Ninja Warrior, which kind of rolls off the tongue.
Just call it Nippon. I like Nippon.
Yeah.
Simple, clean.
That's how they say Japan in Japanese, right?
Sure. You know better than I.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I'm just yes-anding you now. I don't know.
I appreciate that.
But so Jeff was attending the Super Bowl at the time. Mm. So the biggest people, yeah, everybody goes, I guess all the celebrities go to the Super Bowl. It's like a thing.
Do they?
But the funny thing was, like, they pan around the crowd to see, like, who's at the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
And so it pans on Jeff, and he's, like, on his phone. just like texting and chilling. And then somebody like kind of like nudges him, who is also super famous. I don't remember if it's Elton John. It's somebody crazy, right? Mm. Somebody crazy famous. But he like looks up, sees that he's on the big camera, and immediately stands up and just starts dancing and then does the little heart thing with his hand and is like pumping his heart and like blowing kisses and doing this whole thing. And then it like pans to Taylor Swift and she like looks up and looks away. And then it pans like, well, it pans to Jimmy Kimmel and then past Jimmy Kimmel to like Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Without even like stopping. And then she kind of looks away and then it pans back to Jeff and Jeff's still dancing. And all excited. I'm like, yes, dude, thank you. Thank you for just totally fucking owning the limelight in every low. Well, everyone else is trying to be like, oh yeah, no, sorry, I'm not acting right now. Jeff's like, my entire life is just
a performer.
He's just happy. He's just happy to be alive and happy that people are excited that he is alive. And that is why I think we can get him on this podcast.
Gotta get him on this fucking podcast.
I think we can do it, guys. I think this is the year.
I think we're the podcast that gets Jeff.
I think we're the only one that can. I mean, Conan's got him a bunch.
That doesn't count. A podcast is two guys with nothing but a dream and some microphones. Or anybody, like energy. It wasn't gender specific. I just met two people with a dream and a heart.
Or sometimes three people.
Sometimes three people, yeah.
Occasionally four.
Sometimes, I think four is getting a little crowded.
It can be.
I think, like, I mean, it's hard enough not to talk over each other with just two people.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
We've already failed multiple times.
Several times, yeah.
Yeah. But we're getting better.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Yeah, we're clipping. Do you remember the like the Power Rangers when they had that little like that little robot, you know? He was like
Zordon, we need to find five teenagers with attitude.
His name was like Alfalfa or something.
He didn't have the hair thing.
His head was like it looked like a little UFO.
He looked like a mix of the Batteries Not Included robots from the 80s film.
He had the Knight Rider thing.
He did. He had that
across his eye.
And it would like actually shoot like
Zordon,
little.
We need to find two girls and three guys.
Zordon, one should be a cheerleader and the other one should be a mathlete.
You're so much better at that than I am. My favorite part of the like Power Rangers from back in the day was specifically
the Pink Ranger.
Well, other than like how beautiful they all were. Although, you know what's funny is I would say like the Blue Ranger gets overstepped a lot. That dude was like fucking pretty handsome.
Actually. He was. And he was the only gay cast member.
Like Rick
Moranis.
They dressed him up like they did.
It looked like his kids were getting shrunk every episode.
He was like ripped and like
they were all shredded.
They were all shredded to shit. It was crazy.
They're probably 26 and playing 16-year-olds. But
all their all of the footage of them in the costumes, every single bit of it was just from a completely different Japanese TV show with a different plot entirely. And all of the scenes with the like American actors were just filmed separately, and then they just like had the
just superimposed all of it together.
No, they just cut it all together because it was from a show called like I think Super Sentai or something like that, and it was like a long running, like that wasn't even the first one for Japan.
So you're that telling me dinosaur this, themed one. This famous American TV show is like, oh, I just saw a TV show I liked, wouldn't it be great if we just like added white teenagers to it?
Yeah.
And otherwise,
actually specifically two of them weren't white.
That's true. You're right.
And you know what? The main red guy, he was Italian.
Sadly, yeah. Unfortunately, they really were on the nose with all that too, because the Black Ranger was black, the Asian Ranger was yellow, and the Italian guy was red pasta sauce. Red,
yeah. And the typical girl was a white girl who's pink.
Yep.
And then they had a nerdy blue boy.
And then they got the Green Ranger, who was a fucking weed smoking hippie guy.
We didn't have enough white people, actually. So they brought in another white person to play Green Ranger.
Well, he started as a Green Ranger, and they're like, you know what? It's not on the nose enough. Let's make him white so people know how white he really is.
Do you remember? Yeah, that's right, right? They turned him into the White Power Ranger.
Yep.
Which was
like, and he went evil for a second.
He was
evil
as green, yeah. I liked him better as green because he had a Godzilla robot, and I was like, that's fucking sick.
Yeah. Well, what does he get as green? A dragon or like a?
It was no. When he's white, he gets a lion.
Oh,
or
it's
a tiger.
Lion.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't they all have lions and tigers?
No. They all had dinosaurs. So he just had a lion randomly.
Right. We had one. So
Mastodon.
We had a red.
We had
T-Rex.
We had the Triceratops. We had the T-Rex. We had the pterodactyl. Oh, no, there was a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, and there was.
Those are not, those are mammals.
Those are mammals.
I actually said a mammal as if it was a dinosaur a second ago.
You did.
Yeah. Well, there was a Godzilla that had like little machine gun fingers that was pretty cool.
That was rad.
My favorite part of it was they'd be like, all right, we're having this big fight and this guy with a fucking small dagger is beating the shit out of us. What's he do? What's he doing? And then he goes and like plays the flute on his dagger's a flute. And then like the Godzilla monster just comes up out of nowhere. It makes a Godzilla noise and starts shooting machine gun fingers and killing everybody.
Which is a like
it's fucking sick.
You
dude.
Think you'd start with that, but
you don't even know. I was back in Blockbuster, like looking at all the different videos you can rent, and there was like a cassette with like all the Green Ranger like intro episodes where he was evil, and I was like,
yeah, Green Ranger whoa. Kills Batman, Green Ranger yeah. kills the Ninja Turtles,
yeah, so, Green Ranger versus the Marvel Universe, Green yeah. Ranger zombies, they, you know, they had all that stuff, yeah. of course. But yeah, I just thought the Green Ranger was cool, man. I was like, whoa.
Green Ranger became a UFC fighter.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He was okay at it. The Red Ranger became a porn star.
Tommy.
The Red Ranger became a gay porn star.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably okay at that too.
I think he died.
So he wasn't okay at it.
Well, he died of like a disease, I think. Like cancer or something. Which well, is sad. Rest in peace. Rest in
yeah,
peace.
Yeah,
he
was sad.
He became a gay porn star. He also got like, he continued to like grow muscle-wise. Like he got extremely like super yoked.
It was all that killing putties and shit mm-hmm. they were doing. What was the lady? It was like, not Matilda. There was an evil witch.
Are you talking about Rita Repulsa?
Rita Repulsa.
Grow, my monster, grow!
Yeah, there was a lot of weird dick jokes in that,
Lord
wasn't
Zed.
There? Lord Zed.
The guy with no skin.
Oh, God, right.
He had no skin. He was just like a muscle monster with like a cool visor and a big wizard staff that said Z on it. And he lived on the moon with Rita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like a partner.
They, you know, they kind of like played that back and forth, but basically she was like a servant and he was like the new big bad because like all of her plans had failed or whatever. Because
she's like the Wile E. Coyote.
You can't just have like a witch on the moon who's successful and her own fucking evil entity. She has to like be paying homage to like a big naked muscle guy.
Yeah.
I know, right? Let her franchise on her own, bring her back, get her back at
grow my monster, grow!
Like I loved that shit, you know?
I would love if that was Tiffany's relationship, like before sex every night, like you know, Tiff would come in full costume in her full Rita Repulsa right. costume and go, grow my monster, grow, and then you just, and then that was like,
dude, I said you can't talk about my personal life like that on the podcast, man. I'm supposed to be Austin right now.
That's right, Austin.
Yeah.
Well, you are.
Yeah, I am.
And shit's gotten weird.
I was actually out of... I was...
yeah, if you really want to be Austin, you have to, like tell more fart jokes.
It's more and, of a... Yeah, I mean, the only
joke go fart, like a Beavis and Butthead the version.
Only, the only joke fart that I'm doing is the joke that I haven't been drilling these farts into this chair the whole time we've been talking.
That was pretty Austin.
Hold on.
So let's talk about my dating life.
Oh, does he still do that?
No.
Oh, it's, how long has it been since
he's got a fiance?
He's engaged?
He's engaged.
I feel like I haven't talked to him in a really long time.
Engaged with the fiance.
I feel like I haven't
talked to him. Or he's dead.
At least a year.
I don't know.
Oh, he's missing. That's right.
Right.
Sorry, let me get into my philosophy.
I have a fiance.
All right, hold on. Okay.
I think I got it.
Hello, it's me, Austin.
Wow.
I think this is pretty spot on for how he speaks when him and I spake on the subject of things such as welding different metals or the different types of rugged social endurance many people had to go through during the World War I trench poetry section.
Oh, you were both in trench poetry together.
Yes, we both took trench poetry at a community college.
Did you write anything during trench poetry?
No, it was mostly about like the trenches and what happened to people's feats and feats like with an A in it of great strength and poetry.
Feats with your feats?
Some people could write with their feet, but a lot of times they just wrote like butt sex LOL, but like the old time version of LOL, which was ha ha ha.
the old time version of LOL, of course.
Yeah, which as we all know is ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. With exactly three ha's.
Yeah.
Three ha's.
Four ha's means you're a little too into it.
Well, and there's a space between.
And two ha's means you don't
there's
like
a
them.
Space between the first ha and the next two ha's, though, but it's like ha ha ha.
That's four ha's. That means
you added an
You're right. I have to use a little bit more like phlegm from my throat. Like ha.
Ha.
Like a kind of a glottal ha. I can't do it. I'm not French.
Ha. Oh. Oh, that was like a French frog. Yeah.
It sounded like sort of a French frog. I'm going to stop doing this because some people are listening to this and they're eating.
Well, they were.
They were eating. That's fair.
Yeah. I think they've since stopped. And long, might forever stop eating.
They've actually decided to fast permanently after hearing that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So, yeah, no, I didn't have anything.
No, I thought you did. I was excited.
I went in there.
That's a good place to cut and like do a different bit.
I know, right? Because I went in there with such conviction.
I was ready.
Like I definitely had something.
Well, I sat there going like, oh, thank God he has something.
Well, I don't. So, cut to music. If you got some place to go, oh, I got something that you put on the radio. It's called Featuring Jeff Goldblum. It's a podcast with two brothers talking to one another about funny things that you want to listen to. It's a good podcast and it's good for you. It's featuring Jeff Goldblum.